Blog Talk Radio.
Dr. Megan McAllister was already pretty unusual when she encountered the man in the black suit that night. What Division 1 Agent Echo didn't know was that she was even more special, but he'd find out soon enough. Stephanie Osborne uses the urban legend of operatives who show at UFO sightings and make things disappear
like
to craft her
I
vision
was.
Of the universe we don't know. The Division 1 series chronicles this via recruit Omega and experienced partner Echo as they handle everything from lost children to alien assassination and more. Book 1, Alpha and Omega, is available in print and ebook from your favorite bookseller.
Every author has a one story that hits close to home for them. This is Yvonne Mason's.
This book is very personal to me.
The 50s has been idealized as a time of prosperity and growth for some. Those with mental and physical challenges often faced scorn and ridicule, and were destined to be left in so-called hospitals to wither and die. Dreamcatcher, Failure Was Never an Option, is the uplifting story of a man named Stan and his family's courage to defy the odds and succeed in an era where no merit was seen in the challenge.
It is the true story of my brother who was mentally and physically challenged. It is because of my brother Stan that I am a successful author.
Dreamcatcher, Failure Was Never an Option, is available through Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com now.
Horror enthusiasts and fans of things that go bump in the night, rejoice, as there is a new collection of creepy tales to keep your spine tingling and your blood running cold. The brainchild of prolific author Yvonne Mason. Welcome to Your Nightmare as an anthology of stories from a gifted batch of writers specializing in keeping you up at night. Whether you love gruesome tales of murder and mayhem, or you prefer quaint tales of scary happenings, welcome to Your Nightmare is sure to please the inner psychopath and whet even the most insatiable horror appetite. Welcome to Your Nightmare is available now on Amazon.com.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. If it's Wednesday night, you know it's Off the Chain with your host, yours truly, Yvonne Mason. And yes, those were some shameless plugs. You know, I'm kind of like that. The first one is my friend and fellow author, Stephanie Osborne. She writes all things mysterious and sometimes out of this world. So check out her Division 1 series. I think you'll enjoy it. The other two were voiceovers by my friend Chris Dunham, also known as Odd. The first one is Dreamcatcher, Failure is Never an Option, and that is the reason I am a successful author, because of my brother Stan, who is retarded, and failure has never been an option for him. The second one is an anthology of short stories, and the title of that one is Welcome to Your Nightmare. It's horror, and it's fun. And also, I have to give a shout-out to Mr. Andrew Burchard. He went on my AdvertiseCast site where you can go and for a pittance, ladies and gentlemen, a mere pittance. You can do a shout-out or you can do an ad and put it on the show. And he has written a cute little book called The Seduction of Anita Sarkeesian. Now, I haven't read this book yet, but every time I read the shout-out, I'm thinking I'm going to go get the book. And it goes something like this. Anita Sarkeesian doesn't want you to read this book. So if you hate Anita, then why not irritate her by purchasing a copy? It is romance, funny, and a wild ride, so order it on Amazon. So, ladies, no, y'all can't go now. You've got to wait till after the show, because I guarantee you this show is going to be hysterically funny. It always is when I have my friend. As of this morning, ladies and gentlemen, and I have to give a shout-out to Australia, y'all are just so cool. I mean cool. Y'all are my biggest listeners. Y'all outrank the USA 2-1. Y'all are 64% of my listening audience. I am just astounded. This morning when I ran my numbers, I'm a numbers person, so I run my numbers every day to see how we're doing and what I can do to improve the numbers. This morning we're at 4,363 listeners just on this show, just on Blog Talk. doesn't include all the podcasts that I put this show up on after it goes into archives. I've got 5 different podcasts I throw it up on, plus it's on iTunes and YouTube and Stitcher and FM.com and TuneIn Radio. When you combine all the podcasts, it's at 9,994 listeners. We are 6 listeners away from 10,000. We will hit that tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. My goal was 10,000 by the end of the year. We are 6 months into this show, and we are at 10,000 listeners. That is a milestone, a big one. And it's only going to get better because we're going for 15,000. And one more little piece of housekeeping. Yesterday, or last night, I launched a collection of clothing line using my photographs. I am an amateur / professional photographer. Yeah, I do it both ways. And I was contacted by this company called VIDA, V-I-D-A. And what they asked me to do, they said they had seen my photographs, and they wanted to know if I would be willing to put my photographs on some of their clothing, their shawls, their totes, and their shirts, and their wraps. I thought it over for a week or two. A friend of mine already does it. Our friend Tom Fertrell already does it. And I thought, well, you know, why not? I ain't got nothing else better to do. I have the show. I write. Got to do taxes. I take care of my husband. Sure, why not? Let's put one more thing on my plate. So I did. I put up 4 pieces. They accepted them. So right before the show, I finished putting up 9 more pieces. So go to my page here on Facebook. It's Designs by Yvonne Sewell. I'm keeping this design house separate from my writing, so I'm using my married name. But it's Designs by Yvonne Sewell. And check them out. And also go on VIDA and look up Designs by Yvonne Sewell and check them out. And I promise you more and more will be coming. So now that we've got all that out of the way, tonight's show, I always look forward to this show with her because we always have fun. I never know where we're going. I have notes, but what the hell, we're going to throw them out the window. My friend, fellow author, filmmaker, bohemian Celt, Miss Andrea Dean Van Skoyek. She's morose and ghoulish and macabre. To some, she's funny and unfailingly free-spirited. To others, and she's got many talents and many treacheries. She is like me in the fact that you don't want to cross her, because when you cross her, she's loyal to a fault. But if you cross her and you hurt her, well, she's kind of done with you. So what have you been doing, my friend?
Hey, you. I wanted to tell you, I love those 2 little commercials you had at the beginning. Those are so awesome. That guy's voice is creepy. I loved it. Of course, you know, if it's creepy, I'm going to love it. Yeah, it was cool. I like that.
He does all of my voiceovers for all of my books, and that's just too Welcome to Your Nightmare was the late. Well, that's the 2 latest ones, Dreamcatcher and Welcome to Your Nightmare. He also did one for Pink Canary and the Mad Hatter, and he's got the rest of my books. I have no idea. Oh, he did Justice for Cindy. I have no idea what he's up to now because he's getting them ready to send to me. And he's also using them, ladies and gentlemen, on his show, Friday Night Freak Show. You want to check that out. Just threw that in there. So what have you been
up
to?
That's cool.
Isn't it?
Oh, my gosh. What have I not been up to is more like it. We're working on our new book, you and I sent you the last little part that I wrote, and I know you're busy, so I'm like, oh, when I get it back, Yvonne is going to have me. I'm going to need, like, a whole warehouse full of Depends, because she's busy, and when she gets back on it, I am going to be on the floor. Oh, no toilet will be safe anywhere in America.
No.
Just because... Oh, yeah. No. When the two of us get together, it's writing.
Speaking of that little book, Chris also has the When Fates Collide, the first 3 in the series, that he's doing a voiceover for.
Oh, cool. That's cool, because, you know, I do voiceover work. I do a lot of voiceover work, and it's one of my first loves, because I was slated to do a television show about 30 years ago, an independent television show. And when that didn't work out, then I was hired for voiceover work. And even though I'm a big ham and I love to be in front of the camera, voiceover work will always hold a main spot in my heart. So I've just recorded another thing for the Dead Things game. And I'm waiting for some other things to come through that I can record. But, yeah, I love voiceover work. Absolutely love it.
Well, what we're going to have to do is I need to put you out there for all these authors that are out there that look for ways to do ads for their books, because you would
do great. Oh,
yeah,
because I'll do them for a donation. I'll do them for a donation because I'm a bohemian and a free spirit, and I follow an unconventional. I'm like a. I heard the term the other day, and anarcho-capitalist. I prefer bartering and donations to capitalism, and so I always tell people, I'll either do work for you for free, or if you think it's good enough, you can send me something. Just like I do with my meditation classes. Everything I do is bartering, and whatever people can afford, I leave that to their karma and their conscience, whatever they want to contribute.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to put you out there to some of my authors that would be willing, I'm sure, to let you do some voiceover work for them, because they're always asking me, Vaughn, how can I expand my repertoire? Well, you got to think outside of the box, and you and I don't have a box.
Yeah, you got to have a box to think outside of it. So you and I are floating in space thinking, oh, look, let's go here, let's go there, which
exactly.
I do. I've got not all the links, but I've got some of the links to the voice work I've done, because I've done so much that it's like, oh, yeah, I need to add this, and I keep forgetting. But I've got the links to some of the voice work that I've done on my website.
All right. What is the name of your website before we get too deep in the weeds? And then I'll have you give it to us again before we close the show.
Okay, well, it's on Blogger because, you know, again, I don't do the whole capitalist money thing. I do money just enough to pay for basic needs. So it's on Blogger, and you can look me up as either Andrea Dean Van Scoy or the name of the blog in particular where I have the links to my books, my show From Zen to Zombies, where I review independent horror films. That's under the Bohemian Kelp.
Okay. I'm writing it down so I don't forget it. I know I've seen it before. And speaking of From Zen to Zombies, have you put any new reviews up yet? Because I think every time that you've put one up, I've tried to share it so that folks could go see it.
Yeah, you have, and I appreciate that. There's a new one that goes up every Thursday.
Okay.
I review movies, and I do mostly short movies. I'll do longer movies, but I mostly just pick short zombie and horror movies out of the air. I'll troll YouTube and just see one and review it. So every Thursday there's a new review, because I know what it's like. I mean, as you know, you very well know, I was a self-made author. I did everything myself. So it was through the grace of people that allowed me to network with them and do things like review my stuff that I got to where I was. So I know what it's like to need to get the word out about your works and either have no money to do it or you don't know how to do it. So I offer that as a little freebie. The Budya, my Boston Terrier, and I, she's my co-host. Every Thursday we do a show, don't we?
Well, why don't you, when you put it, since most of the time, by the time you pop up on my news feed, it's late in the day for some reason, will you do me a favor? Will you tag me in it so it automatically goes up on my page?
Yeah,
when you
of course
post
I will.
The show technically
doesn't come out until Friday, but for all my fans, like on Twitter and everything like that, I say, oh, look, all my little loyal fiends, look what you get to watch. So I'll tag you in it too, so you'll be sure.
So it'll, and what it'll do is it'll pop up on my news feed, so all my however many people are on my friends list now, since this show started, in order to have guests on the show, I tell them, look, friend me, so when I put the show up, I can tag you in it, and y'all can start promoting this thing. So I've got all these people on my friends list that I didn't have before, which I'm not complaining. No, I'm not complaining
at
all.
Yeah, that's cool.
But I just, there's so much on there now that half the time I miss you, and I don't like to miss you because I try to promote you every time I can see it.
I know
so
you do,
else?
And I appreciate that. So I'll start tagging you. That's not a problem.
Let's just go back in time and tell the folks, ladies and gentlemen, Andrea and I have been friends for, God, 10 years now, at least 10 years.
At least, yeah.
And the way that we got this gig together was we both were involved with a ne'er-do-well publisher. When this ne'er-do-well publisher decided to take his happy little ass and go wherever the hell he went, leaving us all high and dry,
and
there was
screwed
all of us. There was a group of us that have remained connected all these years. Andrea, myself, Tom Fertrell, also known as the Reaper, Andy Keller, Deborah Simpson, who else was it? There were about Fran Ornstein. And
I was
Louisa
about to
Vince.
Say, there was a whole lot of us. Yeah, there was a whole lot of us. Far too many screwed.
Right, and we stayed close all these years because we figured it out that in order for us to succeed, we were going to have to be a band of brothers and sisters and have each other's backs, and we've done that. So what this publisher did, and tonight we're going to reveal this because I think it's time. What this publisher did is I had a PA that I thought I could trust. This publisher was married and lived over in Sarasota, which is on the West Coast. He and my PA hooked up, and the next thing we know, they have left town with our money. It was Triad Publishing was the name of that company. Well, about four months ago, I get a private message from a friend of mine, and she said, Yvonne, were you with Triad Publishing? And I said, yes, why? She says, Vern Firestone? I said, yes, why? She said, oh, my God. I said, what happened? Vern Firestone and his now wife, Joni, her last name was Mitchell, went to Michigan, got married, and opened up Blue Harvest Publishing. First, they opened up Blue Harvest Graphic Designs, and he was designing all of my friend's book covers. Then they decided they were going to get into the publishing business. Shades of the Past comes back. And everything that they did, every I they dotted, every T they crossed, everything they did, they kept coming after my friend for more money on the publishing side. She fought them on it, and she quit. Well, they locked her out of their little group that they had on Facebook. They badmouthed her to the other authors they had until the other authors got smart and figured out what was going on. But if you, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to publish a book, do not go with Blue Harvest Publishing out of Michigan. Right, Andy?
Oh, don't even get me started because they owed me a nice chunk of royalties that I never got. And back then I could have really used that money to help my career because I was doing, I was on the fast track for conventions. I was doing like 3 conventions a month. And
right.
I could have used that money for business cards or postcards because sometimes I would just sign those and hand those out to people, like if they didn't have any money to buy a book or anything, but they wanted my autograph, I'd always be like, oh, okay, well, here, have one of my little rat cards, and I'd sign it. So, yeah, that money could have come in so handy. Not to mention, bills.
Exactly.
Let's not forget bills, those evil things that come in the mail.
Every month, religiously.
Mm-hmm.
But
right, whether
but
you have money or not.
Yeah, they want their pound of flesh. But the thing that bothered us is we trusted someone and we shouldn't have. And this happens a lot in the indie industry. You're going to get publishers that will screw you because they feed you, A, a line of crap, and B, they promise you things they will not deliver, and C, they slink off like a snake in the middle of the night. So Blue Harvest Graphics / Publishing, do not use them. And that brings us to the fourth in the series of the book that Andrea was just talking about. We are writing a book using this publisher as the plot for our story. You want to tell them about it?
No, you tell them. You're better at it. You're better. You have a flair for it.
Well, you see, ladies and gentlemen, our series is called When Fates Collide. The first book, When Fates Collide, has two main characters. And Andrea is one character, and I am the other character. My character is Alex Morgan, the bounty hunter. Andrea's character is Hope Harrington, a mousy little secretary who gets mistaken for a suspect that Alex is trying to find so she can take him in and get paid for it. Well, the first book sets the reader, the stage for the reader, because it's a pretty small book. It takes place down in Key West, and Hope gets so mad that she decides that she's not going to go quietly into that good night. So she and Alex hook up, along with some more strange characters, to catch the real person. The second in the series of the book is When Fates Collide, Mardi Gras Bound. Now, that book will literally make you pee in your pants. Am I not saying the facts?
Yes, absolutely, because when I would get your part back and then start writing, I would be laughing hysterically. I could hardly get through it. It was just the stories just flow. It's just,
they do.
You can tell that we are having an absolute ball writing these stories.
I think that's
where the appeal is. I think because it's not forced, it's not, oh, I need to outdo Yvonne. Oh, no, now I need to outdo Andy. It's, oh, my gosh, let's see how hard we can make everyone laugh. Here we go, and we just have a blast.
Tell the folks what happens in Mardi Gras Bound, because, see, now Hope and Alex have hooked up in the first one, which is When Fates Collide. The second one is When Fates Collide, Mardi Gras Bound. And tell the story. Without giving away the entire story, bring folks up to speed about Alex and Hope.
Oh, let me just tell you that Alex is her usual badass self. Hope is her usual bitchy self and puts her foot in her mouth more than once, gets somehow tied up with a bunch of voodoo people, runs her mouth to a bunch of voodoo people. Of course, Alex ends up saving the day, and Hope is just like, okay, yeah, whatever, I'm along for the ride, and typical. The whole thing's typical. You'll have to read the story to understand it, but believe me, by the time you get to Mardi Gras Bound, you'll be reading the book going, yep, typical. And Andrea was right. Alex's character, yeah, typical. Typical. Oh, and Hope stuck her foot in her mouth again. Whew, yeah, because, you know, in real life, I'm prone to do that because my filter doesn't always engage before my mouth does. So there's quite a bit of me in Hope.
And what is so funny is they pick up even more interesting characters like
the characters are what's going to kill you. Oh, yeah. The characters are what's going to kill you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The characters are what is going to kill you. You got to read about the Deliverance Brothers no matter what Yvonne and I say. You won't get it until you read the story because anything we would say couldn't even come close to these two. You will be on the floor holding your sides. You'll be lucky if you don't laugh until you break your ribs.
What we should do, Andy, is do another shoe. We'll do another shoe, as what's his name used to say, the really big shoe, and we can read, because When Fates Collide is so short, we could do a reading of the first book.
Oh, we could.
That would be
a blast. Oh, people will be rolling. They'll be on the floor just holding their sides and crying and not being able to breathe. Because seriously, the book is just, it's that funny. It's absolutely that funny because, like I said, you and I just have so much fun with it. It's not, oh, Yvonne and I are writing a book. Okay, we need to get this out there. It's like, oh, no, we're going on another adventure. Woohoo! Let's see how much trouble we can get into this time.
And then, ladies and gentlemen, we did the third in the series, and it's When Fates Collide, Arm Candy.
And oh, that one was right.
This one, we go to St. Martin, which is one of my favorite little places in the Caribbean, one of my favorite islands, and we add some of the characters from the Pink Canary book. And if you haven't read the Pink Canary, you have to read the Pink Canary first, because when you read Arm Candy, don't be eating or drinking when you're reading Arm Candy. You'll ruin your book, won't they?
And go to the bathroom. And go to the bathroom first. Seriously, take frequent bathroom breaks. Trust me on this.
Because you will laugh until you cry. And then you'll want to know
until you pee yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, forget crying. You'll be peeing yourself because it's so funny. Especially when Hope is getting all gussied up for the nightclub. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Seriously, I thought I was going to have to sit in the bathroom on the toilet and type the story out, because it was like, as soon as I would think that I wouldn't laugh, I would just be like, oh no, here I go again. Okay, run to the bathroom.
Start over. Because yep. Hope, seriously, she does not have a filter, and she has not yet come to the understanding that things are not always what they seem in Alex's life, because Alex has been around the block many, many times, and in being around the block, she has made allies, not necessarily friends, but she's made allies, and Hope has a tendency to wonder, what the hell is Alex doing with these people, for lack of a better word.
Oh, yeah, and then Hope, of course, sticks her foot in her mouth every time. That Rollo, do I need to say more?
Yeah, really? Well, in the book that we're working on that I have put aside for a few minutes till give me until after I get my taxes filled out. I still got to.
Oh, whenever you're ready. I mean, we're not in any big hurry. We have all the time in the world to do these books.
We are on another adventure, and this time we're picking up the two nefarious characters that have taken artists, authors' money that own a publishing house. And, yes, they are based on real-life activities, because I am tired of not naming Vern Firestone and Triad Publishing and now Blue Harvest Creations. They need to be outed, because I don't want anybody else hurt. So we are taking this public, and we're using them as our basis and our plot for When Fates Collide, and I forgot what we named the rest of it. It's been so long.
Yeah, you know, I have too, but...
But I think we're still working on a title. I don't think we've come up with a...
Yeah, I don't think we've come up with one yet, but whatever one that we have, it's like just when we think that... Because when you came up with When Fates Collide, I was like, okay, wow, that's just awesome. There's no way we're going to top that. And then you came up with When Fates Collide, Mardi Gras Bound. And I was like, oh, now wait a minute. And then you came up with When Fates Collide, Arm Candy. And I'm like, okay, you know what? This just keeps getting better and better.
So I'm sure that the characters will tell us, Hope and Alex will tell us what they want the book to be.
Oh, they will. They always do. I mean, because you know the books write themselves.
Yes, they do.
I mean, they always have. They've always written themselves. And what was it, the last time you and I got together, one of the ladies that had read the book said, oh, yeah, I could definitely tell which one of you was which. Because, you know, at that time we weren't telling anybody who was who.
Yep,
we kind of kept it a secret. But then people started kind of figuring it out. They're like, oh, yeah, we figured that Yvonne is Alex and Andy Cope.
and
has no filter, and definitely Andy.
Because, ladies and gentlemen, we write this book via email. We don't sit down side by side. Because she lives on the West Coast and I live here on the East Coast. So we write it via email. And it works for us.
Oh, it would have to, because if you and I were to get together, we'd never get anything done. We'd both be in jail.
That's not a bad thing.
No, but we would. We'd never get anything done because we'd be in jail.
And I think didn't Alex manage to get herself handcuffed or almost locked up in one of the books?
Yes. Yes, she did.
Because she was
Yes, she did. And I'm surprised the mall will ever let us back in after the last time you and I were in there walking around.
Oh, that's
I don't think Spirit Halloween. I don't think Spirit Halloween ever recuperated from us being in there.
Well, we have fun together.
Oh, we do. We have too much fun. That's what I'm saying. The kind of fun we have usually lands people in jail.
Well, yeah. So we'll just keep at it. Now, I know that some of your books are out of print, but some of your books are still out there, aren't they?
Oh, yes. All of my major novels, my Borders bestseller and my two award winners and all of my vampire books are still out there.
So tell the people which books those are and where they can be found so that, no, y'all can't go now. You have to wait until after the show. I'm sorry. Just be
And the link is directly on my website, too, just to save you a little bit of time. But the two was my 2005 Borders bestseller, and it is paranormal suspense. A Man of Two Worlds is my favorite of all my books. That one is my favorite. It's been in and out of pre-movie production 4 or 5 times. It's just never quite made it there yet. But of all of my books, that's the one that I would love to see as a major motion picture or even an independent film. I would be happy with it. Michael was an award winner. A Man of Two Worlds took, I think it was first place in Predators and Editors 1 year. Michael took third place. Michael is another one that got me hate mail and all kinds of wonderful things. Playing Devil's Advocate never won any awards, but it got me loads of hate mail and got me FBI profiled. Actually, Michael got me FBI profiled, too. The two got me followed around by the police. Let's see. And then my vampire books, as compared to my first novels that I ever wrote, those are pretty tame. A Vampire Alone and Fallen from Shadow Found in Grace. And then I've got the links to all of those on my website. But my first ones I ever wrote are still my very favorite. They're my loves.
And I understand that, because if it weren't for Dreamcatcher, failure was never an option. I wouldn't be sitting in this chair talking to you on my own radio show. That was my very first book, and it will always be my favorite because it, like with yours, it was a catalyst that has gotten us where we are today.
Yeah, well, the two was the one that catapulted me, and it's so funny. My fans and I have never seen eye to eye, and I've been retired from writing now for 7 years. I still do the odd little nano horror on Twitter every day. I'll type out whatever will fit in the 150-word character space that you can do. But I don't write full-length novels any longer. But it was so funny. I came out with the two, and at my very first – the two came out in April, and by June at Borders, when I had my very first ever book signing, it hit number one on the Borders bestsellers list. And
wow.
Much to the shock of the girl that was the manager of the Walden Books, which was a subsidiary of Borders, because she's so funny. She comes up to me and she says, I don't know how, because my book was self-published. I had to convince her to get it into the store. And she comes up to me, I don't know how you managed to do this, but you just hit number one on the Borders bestsellers list. And I was like, woohoo! And so I was really happy. But then when A Man of Two Worlds came out, I was like, okay, this one is going to be, it's just going to sweep the entire nation by storm. It's going to be on everybody's lips. And people liked it, but I continuously heard, yeah, but I preferred the two. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? Because A Man of Two Worlds was my baby because it's stories within stories within stories. And some people said that was a detraction. But everything ties up so neatly in the end, and there's so much you could do with it. And then we never did agree on the characters either. My favorite character, and I wrote him for a friend of mine who used to do the Terminator, the T2 stunt work at Universal Studios, Daryl Baldwin. I wrote, and it's funny, I didn't know Daryl. This was when we were casting for the film. And I had an agent at the time, and she contacts me, and she's like, okay, this guy just sent in his picture and said he's interested in auditioning for the role of Rusty. And she's like, I think we just need to just let him do it because he's got acting skills. He's got plenty of experience under his belt, and he's Rusty. Take a look at him. And she sent me Daryl's picture, and I was like, oh, my God, it's Rusty. It was so funny because Daryl could pass for Rusty. And Daryl and I are really good friends now. And it's so funny because Rusty was my favorite character. He's a bouncer, and he's a vampire bouncer in a nightclub. And he was just always my favorite character. But I wrote this one sick and twisted character named Kessler that my proofreader, she kept emailing me back, no, you got to tame this down some. You got to tame this down some. No, you can't publish this. Nobody's going to publish this. This is too freaky. And the character's name is Kessler. And he is just a really disgusting freako creep. And he's everyone's favorite character. And I'm like, okay, wow. Seriously? Seriously? I don't know who's sicker, me for writing him or you for liking him. And everybody thinks that's just hilarious. But it's like, well, what about Rusty? Oh, yeah, he's cool, but I like Kessler. And it's like, you people just aren't right.
Well, you think about it. Your next-door neighbor could be a sociopath.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I scared one of my husband's friends. Oh, he said for me to tell you hello, by the way, and he misses you and Jack.
Well, we miss him. We miss you.
I know. We all need to get together again soon. But friend of my husband's, yeah, we do. He bought a copy of Playing Devil's Advocate. And my husband warned him. He's like, you do not want to read my wife's books. She's been FBI profiled twice. She's had a police officer in our town tell us that he wants to read her books to see if there's not someone that needs to be keeping tabs on her. He's like, so he said, yeah, you really, no. And he's like, oh, no, I want to read him. And so I went up there one day to visit my husband. He was up there visiting him. And he said, so, and he named his friend. He said, she wants to read one of your books. And I said, oh, okay. I guess he might do with one of my vampire books. They're not so bad. And he's like, oh, no, he wants to read Playing Devil's Advocate. And I started laughing. I was like, there is no way. There is absolutely no way. The hardened people who have been my fans from day one with Playing Devil's Advocate were like, okay, yeah, no, you're just real out there. That's how bad it is. And so he got a copy of it. He wouldn't listen, got a copy of it, told my husband the next time he came up there to visit with him, he said, you actually sleep in the same bed with this woman at night and you're not afraid of her? And my husband started laughing, and he's like, I could only get through the first couple of chapters of the book. I haven't been to confession in probably 30 years. He's like, I went to confession because I was afraid I was going to burn in hell. I thought the devil was actually going to show up in my house and drag me off to hell. He said, and then when I kind of got over my fear, I went back and tried to read it again. He said, and I had to go back to confession again because I'm really afraid I'm going to go to hell for reading your wife's books. I was like, we tried telling you. And then I had a new fan, and I met her just recently, and she's bought all of my books. First one she bought, she messages me, oh, I like the sound of playing devil's advocate, and I just got it. And I'm like, are you insane? You don't read Playing Devil's Advocate until you survive the two, A Man of Two Worlds, and Michael. By the time you get to Michael, you should be sufficiently hardened to where you can handle Playing Devil's Advocate. You don't start with Playing Devil's Advocate. She's like, oh, yeah, I can't wait. And she loved it. And I'm like, okay, my fans are still as sick and twisted as ever.
Yeah, and they continue to be sick and twisted, just like the author behind the books. But that's okay.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah, that's okay. I tell everybody I'm a proud ghoul. I am. I'm a proud ghoul.
You need to come back out. You need to come out of that closet, my friend, and get back to writing.
Well, that's what my husband keeps saying. I had my time to shine, and I'm just enjoying being a bohemian now and a gypsy and coloring and sewing and making avant-garde movies and making meditation videos. I had my fun with it. I went further with my writing career because when I first started writing, all I ever wanted to do was just put my works out there so people could read them. And I went so far above and beyond what I ever thought I was capable of doing. I've met a lot of cool celebrities. I was a celebrity. I was an underground celebrity at conventions. I had handlers just like the big celebrities did. I'll never forget the way the fans would line up at my table. And I'll never forget the time that I had security called on my table at one convention because all of my fans were blocking the aisle and no one else could get down to see the other people. So the other people got mad and called security on my fans. So I went so much further than I ever could have dreamed. There's nothing, not that I ever wrote to prove anything, but there's nothing for me left to prove. There's nothing for me left to do because my sole intention was, okay, well, if you want to read my books, here they are. Here's where you can get them. And it just went so beyond that.
And that's what happens. This is what I tell new authors or people that want to write. Number one, you have to be patient. Number two, have expectations, but don't have unreasonable expectations, because when the gravy starts flowing, it's so much sweeter.
Oh, it really is. Probably one of the proudest moments that I ever had in my life, and this will always stick out in my head. I was at a now defunct convention, used to be held in Orlando. It was called the FX Extravaganza. And I think this was either the last year or the year before they stopped the convention. I'm standing at my table, and this young man comes by with his girlfriend, looks at my banner, looks at me, and comes running over to my table, points at my book, Michael, and says, that is the most badass book ever written. So he bought a copy of it. I signed it. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that's sweet. He comes back to my table about a half hour later. He's bought glass wooden case to put the book in.
Oh, my.
And hands me the case and says, will you sign the case? And I'm standing there bawling like an idiot in the middle of FX, signing his bookcase for him. And it's like, it's things like that just really made everything worthwhile. I couldn't ask for anything more than that.
It keeps us humble.
Oh, it really does. And see, that was part of my problem too. I was never celebrity material. I'm too down to earth. So I couldn't be, I would still say whatever I thought. I didn't believe in kissing anybody's ass. I didn't believe in, I want to be a part of this. So I don't agree with it, but I keep quiet. Oh no. I was never celebrity material. I was like, I'm self-made. You all can go piss off. And so I was never celebrity material. And another friend of mine told me that too. He was like, yeah, you could have never made it. You would have had to have been an underground celebrity like you were. He said, because you don't kiss the right ass. You don't kiss any ass. He said, and that's part of your problem. I said, yeah, that was why I could have never been a real, you know, what people consider a real celebrity. I was an underground celebrity, and I loved every second of it.
Also part of your charm and uniqueness.
Yeah. Yeah, but I wouldn't trade a second of my underground fame. It was just, it was awesome. I would have people contact me, and I had one fan contact me and tell me he was so proud. A local grocery store that he shopped at in Romania had my books on the shelf.
Wow.
In their little book section. I'm like, what?
Okay.
It's just stuff like, yeah, it's just stuff like that. And it's just like, you never know how far reaching it's going to be.
And that is very true. We as artists do not know the impact that we have on people that we don't ever meet.
Oh, no. If you had told me that I would have the kind of underground fame that I had and be a name that people knew all over the world just to speak in like underground circles and in the gothic community and everything, had you told me that, oh, yeah, you're going to be like a big-time underground celebrity, I would have laughed in your face. I'd have been like, whatever you're smoking, you need to share it. Me? No way. And, yeah.
We just don't ever. Now, are you still doing your thing with the techno music?
Yeah, every once in a while, I do techno music and I do meditation music. I do some like meditation things. I'm still playing around with that, but I also do a lot of meditation videos too, because, you know, I'm a yogini.
Yes.
I teach yoga, and I also teach meditation. And so I'm doing a lot of stuff with meditation videos right now. I jump
and
from one thing to another.
They're all up on YouTube as well, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're all on YouTube.
So if people wanted to go look on YouTube, they would just look under, would they look under Bohemian Kilt or would they look under Andrea Dean Van Squibb?
I think they look probably, I can't remember because I never pay much attention to my own account. Isn't that sad? It's Andrea Dean Van Scoy, and I know if you just type in Andrea Dean Van Scoy, I know that links will come up to a bunch of different things that I do, or you can always type in from Zen to Zombies, and you can follow the path from Zen to Zombies to my actual station, where you'll see everything from Zen to Zombies, the short films I've made, my meditation videos, my trance music. There's even some films that I've been in that I didn't produce, films that other people made. And there's, I think, mostly what comes up a lot of times if you type in my name is when I was a guest at the Great Appalachian Spook Show. And I was a guest speaker there. It was a paranormal convention. And I was a guest speaker, and a lot of times that'll come up because, of course, I ended up being the one to make it on the news that night too.
Of course.
and it wasn't for being arrested.
Well, let me ask you this. What made you name the videos from Zen to Zombies? Is it because of the you go from meditation to zombies?
Yeah, and that's actually my little tagline that I have for the show, from to oh my God. Because I can go, you've seen my hair. I've got braids, and I dress like a hippie. I have my dog in my videos with me, and I look like a complete and total hippie, and here I am reviewing horror movies. And people come in my house. And I still have the murals that were on my wall from when I was an author. I've still got my meat cleaver from the 1920s. I've still got my baby's coffin. I've got jars of animal bones and little dried out mummified animals and things that I've collected. And then you look around the rest of my house, and it's like, oh, here's a Buddha statue. Here's a fountain. Here's a bunch of Kuan Yin statues. Oh, yeah, here's a Ganesha here on the table. So it's like, okay, what is she other than weird?
You're not weird. You're unique. That is
I am
who
very
Andrea
unique.
Is. And anyone
yeah.
that tries to pigeonhole you would be remiss in their trying to pigeonhole you. It's like putting a square peg in a round hole. It isn't going to fit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's absolutely no way.
And that's why we get along.
I am so multifaceted.
Yeah, and on top of that, we both get bored easy.
Oh, yeah, that's why I do so many different things. Because people are like, are you still doing this? Are you still doing this? And I'm also a minister. So a friend of mine contacted me today. They just lost their cat. So I posted a picture on Facebook where I was burning in a Buddha candle holder, burning a candle for their cat. And I told her, I said, if you want to have a funeral service for your cat, let me know, because I am an ordained minister. So I do marriages and funerals and everything too. So, yeah, there's a lot of things I do. I have a master's degree in religious studies. I have a doctorate in motivational inspiration. And it's just like I do so many different things. I color. I recycle like crazy. I sew blankets. I have an outreach for the homeless. It's like I said, what don't I do? And that's because I don't like to be bored.
And because, as we both know, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. And, God, we have enough problems with the devil. We don't need him in our head because we have too many voices in there already.
I was about to say, if you're replaying Devil's Advocate, a lot of people think the devil already got me.
So what have you got on your plate for your next adventure? We talked for a minute, and you said you were going to start filming again as soon as you could get your three cast members, who are absolutely marvelous, back in play. How long before I get to see another short?
Hopefully not very long. There's a few things I would like to film, but I'm going to wait. The next, I'll go ahead and tell you all about it. The next film I'm going to do is going to be called Midnight, and it's mostly going to focus on Paige, the little girl that's in all of the films that I do. Yeah, her parents, or her stepmother and her father, are going to be in the movie, but it's mostly going to focus on her, and it's going to be another avant-garde macabre film. So as soon as we can coordinate all of our schedules, because, you know, unlike me being semi-retired and sitting around doing things at my own whim, they're a young couple, and they've got lives and jobs, and so I always have to wait for them. So as soon as they get themselves situated and we can get a day where it's not raining, not cold, not too hot, and our schedules can coordinate, we're going to start filming Midnight. And I can film at any time of the day because I film everything in black and white or sepia anyway.
Right.
So that's
and
not
so
a big deal. I'm not constrained by, okay, we have to be exactly at this place at dawn. We have to be out of here before the sun sets. No, everything is black and white.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't seen her shorts that she's filmed, they are very powerful. One of them, well, in the two that she's done, there are no words spoken at all. It's all silent avant-garde film in black and white. And the three people we're talking about do a marvelous job. They are just so, they're naturals, all three of them.
Yeah, and would you believe that they have absolutely no acting experience? None.
Well, they,
Lee
who
has,
would know?
The man, Lee, yeah, you wouldn't. The man in the film, Lee, he has been a friend of mine for probably close to, I don't know, 15, maybe between 15 and 20 years. I mean, he was just a kid when we first met, because he used to hang out at the Walden Books where I used to have my book signings. So I basically watched him grow up. And now his wife, he's married, and he has a little girl. And so I have these wonderful friends And they're like, we don't have any acting experience. And I'm like, I don't care. You don't have to. You'll be fine. And sure enough, they have taken the roles, and they are naturals. They're absolute naturals.
They really are. That one, the first one you did, I could have, if I didn't know better, I would have sworn they were all three in the afterlife.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ladies and y'all just going to have to go to her YouTube and look at it. I'm not telling you anymore. Just take your after the show, take your happy little selves over there and look it up. We are.
And you'll find those under Cafe Noir Production Studio. That's the name of my film studio.
I'm glad you brought that up. Now, we're going to run out of time. Believe it or not, this hour is almost up. So it's going to be safe to say that I'm going to set us a show to read the first book, When Fates Collide.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And we're not responsible for any ruined furniture or any puddles you leave on the floor. We'll say that right now.
So,
and we'll repeat it when we do the episode.
There you go. So, ladies and gentlemen, we will put that caveat in the episode before it starts. And I will set the show and I'll let everybody know. But eat and drink hours before. Don't have any food, water, children, dogs, televisions, radios, music, anything that can distract you, because you're going to want to listen to this show, and you're going to want to tell your friends about it, because we are going to give you a free reading of the first book in the When the Fates Collide series. So that being said, tomorrow night we're taking off because I did a show on Monday night, and the Jennifer Chase, who I had for tomorrow night, she lives in California, and that's where all the flooding is, so she has no power. They're flooded out. She's got some personal issues she's got to take care of. So I'm taking tomorrow night off. But on Friday night, Mary Brotherton, who is an editor, a photographer, a friend of mine, a new author, will be on the show. Who knows where that show will go. Then on Saturday night, one of my most favorite people in the world, who is also in this conglomeration of authors that got screwed by Triad Publishing, Nicholas Grabowski will be on tap for Saturday night. And if you've never heard a show with Nicholas Grabowski, is it not true, Andrea? It is a show of shows.
Oh, yeah. Nicholas is awesome. He was a publisher of mine at one time. He is just – Nicholas is awesome. He's just
he is fantastic.
You got to listen to him. Yeah, you got to listen to him to just know how cool he is.
On so many levels. I want to thank
you,
absolutely, my friend, for being here with me tonight and this hour flying by like 5 minutes. I mean, we just started this conversation and now we're hanging up shortly. I appreciate you and I love you so much.
Oh, I know you do, and I love you too, and we have too much fun when we're together. And I'll finish telling you the story of what I was going to tell you whenever we get off the phone here, if you have a few minutes.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, remember this. Andrea and I are dreamers. Not only are Andrea and I are dreamers, but we made our dreams come true. My brother is a dreamer.
And
he made his dreams come true, even though he's retarded. And, yes, that is a term that we use with him because it is what it is. But he's unique, and we love him. And he taught me more than I would ever teach him, and that is you never, ever, ever give up. And you never allow anyone to steal your dream, whatever that dream is, just like the dream of the clothes on my lap. I didn't go looking. I had enough to do. It fell in my lap. So I'm going to take it and run with it like I stole it. The world is made up of dreamers. Civilization is civilization the way it is because of dreamers. Without dreamers, we'd have no internet. We'd have no radio shows. We'd have no cars. We'd have no telephones. We'd have no designer clothing. We'd have no artwork. We'd have no written word. So whatever your dream is, you're never too old, and you're not too stupid. And anybody that tells you you're too old and too stupid or you're not smart enough, kick them out of your life. Drop them like a bad habit because they will only weigh you down. Do not lay on your deathbed with regrets because you might come back in a different life, but it won't be the same dreams. Trust me, it will not be the same dreams. It will be different dreams. Make this life count and be known for more than just the dash between your birth date and your death date. because you do not want people to say, oh, well, they had nice hair. Really? That's all you were known for is you had nice hair? Make a difference. And with that, I say good night until Friday night at 8 o'clock on Off the Chain. Hold on, we're still on air.
Okay.
Now, we're in archives, and what you tell me is going to show up in the archives, so anybody that listens to it will hear what you're going to tell me. Do you want it to show up in the archives?
No. No, of course not. I told you no. It's just between you
okay.
and I.
Yes, absolutely. That's why don't tell me yet. So what I'll do is I'll call you back after we hang up here, and we'll talk for a few minutes. How's that?
Okay, yeah, that's good.
All right, so I'm going to hang up here, and now you know I'm going to put it up. Once it goes in the archives, I'm going to put it up, and I'm going to tag you in it and put it up in the podcast and tag you in it, and then you just promote the daylights out of it if you want to so we can get you out there. Okay.
Thanks,
so I'm going to end the,
okay,
the
call
episode.
Okay, call me right back.
I'll
you have
right.
my number, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
so
all right.
Right,
I'll talk to you in a second. Okay,
all
love
right,
you.
Bye. Love you, bye.